Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I love the opening prayer. Well, let me take the entrance antiphon first, and then the opening prayer. It's been a long time since I've said this to you, but I'm going to say it today. Please, please, when you go to Mass, read the entrance antiphon. Pray it before Mass begins. It reads, "Be my protector, O God, a mighty stronghold to save me. For you are my rock, my stronghold. Lead me, guide me, for the sake of your name." Comes from Psalm 30. "Be my protector, O God, a mighty stronghold to save me. For you are my rock, my stronghold. Lead me, guide me, for the sake of your name." Where do we need someone to lead us right now in your life? Where do you need someone? Where do you need guidance? Turn to him first. Turn to him first. The opening prayer for today, O God, who teach us that you abide in hearts that are just and true, grant that we may be so fashioned by your grace as to become a dwelling pleasing to you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Some days I say to the Lord, "Is my heart just and is my heart true? Do you want to dwell with me? Are you pleased to dwell with me?" It's like a little examination of conscience, either in the morning or midday or sometime, just to stop and say, "Is my life a dwelling that's pleasing to you?" Because he does dwell within us, unless we push him out by serious sin. I need God every moment of every day. I need him when I'm awake. I need him when I'm asleep. There's not a moment that I don't need him. And I want his willingness to be with me, to not be a blessing to him. He's the one who gives all the blessings, but to bring him pleasure and to bring him joy. And I think you want that too. Ask God during this upcoming Lent, ask God to help you to make your life, your body, your mind, your spirit, to make your life a dwelling pleasing to him. The first reading is taken from the letter of James, chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. "Blessed is he who perseveres in temptation, for when he has been proven, he will receive the crown of life that he promised to those who love him. No one experiencing temptation should say, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God is not subject to temptation to evil, and he himself tempts no one. Rather, each person is tempted when lured and enticed by his desire." What are the desires in you that lead you astray? Identify them. Put them in God's hands every day. Tell him you don't want them anymore. When you're tempted, go right to the Lord and say, "I'm putting this temptation in your hands. I don't want it. I want you to protect me. And I will bring it to you every time. I will activate my will and say, I don't want to give in to this desire. I want to give it to God." You get into a habit of doing that and watch how things change. "Rather, each person is tempted when lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire conceives and brings forth sin, and when sin reaches maturity, it gives birth to death." What path are you on? "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers and sisters. All good giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no alteration or shadow caused by change. He is forever the same, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He willed to give us birth by the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. He made me in his image and likeness. He made me, he made you, to bear fruit for the glory of his name. There is no greater privilege in life, honestly, than that. Psalm 94, bless the man you instruct, O Lord. Bless the man whom you instruct, whom by your law you teach, giving him rest from evil days. Do you let the Lord teach you? Do you give him time? Does his word instruct you? For the Lord will not cast off his people nor abandon his inheritance. But judgment shall again be with justice, and all the upright of heart shall follow it. When I say my foot is slipping, your mercy, O Lord, sustains me. Isn't that true when your foot slips, so to speak? You see yourself going right into giving into certain desires. You just see it. You see your body, everything. It gets taken over by a desire. But Jesus' mercy, says the psalmist, will sustain us. Even when I say my foot is slipping, even when I'm starting to move in that direction, your mercy, O Lord, sustains me. When cares abound within me, your comfort gladdens my soul. Turn to him in your time of need. Turn to him. He will give it. But you've got to keep your eyes fixed on him when you're fighting desire. Desires can be overwhelming. Keep your eyes fixed on him. Cry out to him. He will hear you. Whoever loves me, says the verse before the gospel, whoever loves me will keep my word, says the Lord, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him. It goes on to say, we will make our home with him. Whoever loves me will keep my word. When Jesus sees you trying to keep his word, even when you fail, if you turn to him and say, I'm sorry, Lord, he pays attention to you in a particular way, and he begins to lift you up out of the mire of whatever desire you're battling. Turn to him. When I say my foot is slipping, your mercy, O Lord, sustains me. When you're tempted, turn to the Lord. Bring it to him. Say, help me. When cares abound within me, your comfort gladdens my soul. Just cry out until he does answer you. Don't give up. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 14 to 21, the disciples had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And Jesus enjoined them, watch out, guard against the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Those are people who are seeking to lead us in their direction, but their leaven doesn't lead to the raising of the bread. Their leaven is poisonous. Their leaven destroys. So watch out, guard against the leaven of the Pharisees, those who are trying to do all the right things for the wrong reasons. That can be dangerous too. They're trying to do what is right, but for the wrong reasons. They're doing it for self, even though they say they're doing it for this or that, but it's their reputation. It's their pride. When cares abound within me, your comfort gladdens my soul. So just say to the Lord, my foot is slipping. I'm going in the wrong direction. Help me. And it will gladden your soul, I promise you. And that's why Jesus says, watch out, guard against the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod, because it's not moving you in the direction of God. It's moving you in the direction of self. It's moving you in the direction of the devil, no matter what words are used. They concluded among themselves that it was because they had no bread. That's not what Jesus is saying. When he became aware of this, he said to them, why do you conclude that it is because you have no bread? Do you not yet understand or comprehend? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and not see, ears and not hear? Do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many wicker baskets full of fragments you picked up? And they answered him, 12. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many full baskets of fragments did you pick up? And they answered him, 7. And he said to them, do you still not understand? They just didn't get it. The miracle of the loaves and fishes was a genuine miracle. But you know, something happens and then somebody says, oh, well, there must be people who had stored bread away and they brought it and they shared it. And that's the miracle that everybody shared. That's what some people say. The miracle is that everybody shared, not that Jesus multiplied the bread. Brothers and sisters, do you believe Jesus? Do you believe his miracles? Or don't you? Because what needs to happen is that you put your faith in him, that you learn from the disciples how they had to figure this out. I can understand them. They were brand new. They were just in the beginning of this. They went back to the Old Testament prophecies, and that was a help. But there were people who said, well, you could interpret it this way or that way. So they're at the beginning. But brothers and sisters, we're not. We have the advantage of all of this teaching. Yet every single one of us has to make a decision. Do I believe? Jesus says to us, as he said to them, do you not yet understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and not see, ears and not hear? Are my eyes and my ears open to the grace and the mercy and the love of God or not? I look at so many situations in the church today and so much going on in our own hearts, and I see our faith weak. I'm in the process of writing a book on the gift of faith because it is a tremendous gift. It's the gift that will see us through. Faith, hope, and love. We need all three. But brothers and sisters, cultivate your faith. Don't just take it for granted. Faith has to be maintained, like a good garden or a good, beautiful yard. It has to be maintained. And so it is with us. Let this Lent be a time to take a look at your faith. Take out the catechism. Read. In fact, I would encourage you, read the section in the catechism on the sacraments. Look at what God has made available to you. Look how it can be active in your life every day right now. Baptism wasn't just when you were an infant, for your infancy. First communion, when you were 6 or 7, etc., etc. It wasn't just for that moment. It's that it may shape your whole life. So I really urge you to pick up the catechism during this Lent and read the section on the sacraments. It's a chunk, but it's worth reading a page or two every day. And seeing the graces that lie within your soul that perhaps have never been activated. It's your will that activates. Asking Jesus, Lord, activate all you've given me because I want to follow you as your disciple. God bless you. For the free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, dial 1-800-282-4789. For the CD, 40 Days Journey, Encountering the Love of God, go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. Cost of the CD, $10. God bless you.